All right. Let's get this out of the way first. The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on Tailboard Talks Firefighter Podcast are solely those of the speakers, guests, and host, and do not in any way represent the thoughts or views or opinions of any other employer, partnership, or sponsor. The material and information in this podcast is for general information purposes only and should be used at the listener's discretion.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Tailboard Talks Firefighter Podcast. My name is Chris, I'm your host, and today we're talking about some cool holiday stuff. And one of the most, but one of the more uncomfortable questions you can be asked during the holidays, which is, hey, what's the worst thing you've ever seen? Or like, what kind of crazy stuff have you seen on the job? And we're going to get into that, but first I just want to remind you guys that PTS December is off and running. Matt Spade is running that. If you want to hear more about that program in December, about building mental health and resilience, along with some physical capability, go to a couple episodes ago. We did a talk about it. I talked with Matt about it. And also go to @PTSDecember on Instagram and on Facebook and all that stuff. Check it out. Get involved. Some good stuff over there. Let's talk about this thing, because more and more during the holiday season, you're going to see more and more people, right? And you'll be at a party, or you'll be seeing people you haven't seen in a while, or meeting new friends, or whatever, or meeting guys from other departments, guys and girls from other departments. And inevitably, at least one time in the next month or so, you'll be somewhere and they'll be like, oh, what do you do? Say, oh, I'm a fireman. Oh, where do you work? Oh, I work in blah, blah, blah. And then they'll be like, oh, I bet you see some stuff there. And you say, yeah, a lot of stuff. It's just really busy. Or, yeah, not so much. It's not too busy. And that's kind of where this thing takes a turn. And we got ourselves into a lot of mental trouble. And really, we kind of set the people up that are asking for a little bit of entertainment up for some failure. And so let's talk about it. I'm going to give you today a way to divert it so we can get off topic and talk about other stuff. And then some of the ways that I handle it, which is more entertaining for me, kind of gives the person asking what they really want. Because a trap we fall into when people ask you what the worst thing you ever saw was, or what's some crazy stuff that you guys see, or hey, you must see some crazy stuff, what's the grossest thing you've ever seen, we get in this mental gymnastics of like, well, I need to prove to them that I'm a real hero, right? I don't want to diminish the things I've seen and the things I've done, but also at the same time, I don't want to start reliving all these bad things that are going on in my brain potentially, right? So we get into this mental gymnastics and we lose sight of the number one rule of when you got hired in the job interview, which is listen to the question and answer the question and then stop talking. So the first thing is, if you want to divert, okay, we're just going to jump right into this thing. If you want to divert, this question usually comes up in a few different ways. The first one is just like I said, oh, you work for so-and-so department. Oh, I bet you guys are pretty busy. And you can be like, yeah, we are pretty busy. Our calls are going up. EMS is like 80% of it. We see a ton of stuff. We're running constantly. You know, our run numbers are this, this, and this, blah, blah, blah. But you know, it's part of the job and it's a lot of fun. And I really like it. So yeah, what do you do? And that sometimes it takes care of it, right? You've given them some background information. You've indicated, yeah, you're busy, but you're putting it back on them. Maybe the conversation takes off and goes a different direction. Or you can say like, yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff, but man, some of the funniest things I've seen were like blah, blah, blah. And now you're controlling the conversation. You're saying, not even giving the opportunity to ask for the gross stuff or the bad stuff or the bad memory stuff. You're offering them something and maybe they'll just take that and be cool with it. And the longer conversation goes on, the less likely they are to have that initial thought of like, oh, I should ask this person about some gross stuff or some bad stuff. And then it just fades away, right? And then maybe later, if they get into a conversation with you again, not in a group or one-on-one, and they ask you about that, you can be like, hey, I don't know, man. I don't want to talk about the gross stuff. Let's go get another drink, or let's go hang out, or what are the kids doing? Or I don't know. Tell me a gross story about your job at the library, right? So that's one way. You can try to take control of this thing and deflect it and go a different way. It's pretty useful. It's pretty helpful, especially in a larger group. But you may be in a group of people that want to hear a story. And that's not out of the, it's not crazy, right? Like, we put ourselves on this pedestal sometimes, and so does the media, and so does social media, of like heroes, larger than life, doing stuff, awesome stuff. I think it's only natural that people want to hear some awesome stuff. It's kind of like, if you can put it in a different context, like if you meet a professional athlete that you like and you're like, or a musician, more often than not, you might ask that guy or girl, like, hey, I bet you've had some pretty crazy times on the tour bus, or like at concerts, that must just be nuts. Like backstage, like, do you have any good stories about other musicians or other athletes you've hung out with? It's kind of like asking the same thing, right? They're not fans of us. Like, let's not pretend that we're anything we're not, but they're getting an opportunity to talk to somebody that they know nothing about. They probably don't know a lot about the profession. What they've seen is glamorized or heroified, and now they have this person that does that. So it's only natural that they might ask you that stuff, right? Some of us take offense to it and immediately go to this dark place of like, you shouldn't be asking a first responder about that. That brings up a lot of bad potential memories, or they feel like they need to educate or right the person, which I believe is the wrong thing to do, especially in a group, because we kind of take what they're asking us and we put it into this weird context of like, I need shock value. They're asking me about the worst thing ever. We have a different concept of what the worst thing ever is, right? They can't relate to the truly worst thing ever. They can't. And it's strange for us to expect us to spout off this story about terrible things that we've seen and have them relate to us. Those stories are in a different stratosphere for the average person. But that's what we go to first, because in our mind, the worst thing ever is the worst thing ever. In their mind, realistically, what they're looking for is to hear a story, a gross story that makes them go, ew, gross. And then be able to take that story and at the next party they're at say, oh, I was talking to this guy that works at blah, blah, blah. And he said that he sees this and this and this. Isn't that so crazy? That's what they're looking for. They're looking for entertainment. They're not looking for your deep, dark secrets. They're not looking for the stuff you tell your therapist. They're not looking for anything real. They want stuff they can relate to that they also think is gross or crazy. They're thinking, when they ask you that question, they're thinking jackass, if they're old enough. They're thinking ridiculousness. They're thinking like Fail Army on Instagram. They're thinking all the YouTube stuff they've seen of people like getting wrecked. All the hillbillies that light their house on fire, chasing spiders with like blow torches. That's what they're thinking. They're not thinking the actual bad stuff that we've seen. But why do we feel like we need to give that to them? So we go to the top shelf stuff, right? Which can hurt us, can trauma dump on them. Don't trauma dump on these people. That's not what they need. So give them the gross stuff. And that's my second point of this thing. This could be a very quick episode, but entertaining. Give them the gross stuff. You know what's gross to the average person and is also gross to us? Poop. Poop is very gross, especially when you step in it or you have to move it with your hands or you have to walk through a mixture of human and animal to get to someone or somewhere or do something. Poop is gross. Pee is gross. Throwing up is gross. GI bleeds are gross, right? Give them the stuff that they can also feel connected. And yeah, that's really gross because if they have a pet, if they've ever gone to the bathroom in their life, they know that poop is gross, right? That might be top tier for 99% of the population. Very seldom will you tell someone a poop story or a UTI story. And then they go like, yeah, that's great. But tell me about a time that somebody got cut in half. Like that's not even, most of the time a poop story will cut off the conversation. That's the gem they need to go to the next interaction and have a good time, right? That will build credibility in your profession, not the heroic gross stuff that you carry with you. So don't trauma dump on people. Give them the gross stuff. All right. Give them something that they can take with them in a humorful way. And get out of the conversation. That's all it takes. It really can be that simple. We don't need to take it to the top shelf every time. Middle shelf for us is top shelf for most of the population. Give them the middle shelf GI bleed, poop, pee, bed bug, scabies story. Send them on their way and let them retell it and make you look like the hero that you are. Okay. Now, if you do feel like you need to tell the person like, hey, don't ask people that, you can, right? But that's later in the conversation, maybe not even on that day. And if you do, what I would do and what we have done is treat it just like when Nathan says something goofy. Nathan's 4, he's very inquisitive, he's picking up on very fundamental things, and one time when he was around 3, we had several friends that were also having babies. And so the woman would show up with her big baby belly And Nathan would be like, what is going on there? And we'd say, there's a baby in there. And this whole thing, we talk about it, right? This whole thing. He saw a few expectant mothers with big bellies. And so big bellies meant babies. And then we went in public and there was a guy with a big belly. And he felt compelled to go ask that guy about the baby in his belly. Now, in that moment, are we going to be like, now listen, Nathan, this man isn't pregnant with a baby. He's just got a big old belly because blah, 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 blah. He's just obese. You shouldn't. No. Hey, get over here. Stop talking to other people about their bodies. Stop the behavior. Divert. Do something else. We'll talk about that later. And then later on, one-on-one, when there's not so many stimulations around and that person isn't there, we can say, hey, listen up, dude. And also understand that conversation will happen again and again and again. It's more than likely the next time we're out and he sees a guy or girl with a big belly, he's going to think there's a baby in there. Same with everybody else, right? Don't worry about correcting or lecturing or setting the person on the right path in the moment. That's just taking it to that top tier level. That's bringing up, because then you have to say like, I don't like being asked that question because what it makes me think of is these terrible things. And now you're thinking of them. Now you're thinking of them. Now you're alluding to them. That might even pique their interest more because they're like, oh man, maybe there are some stories that are beyond what I thought that I kind of want to hear now. That's kind of what we're living in now. That's what social media does. It teases you with a little, makes you want to see a lot. But that goes back way far back into like Faces of Death and all the old web pages that got taken down for grotesque images, right? Give the people what they want. Give them the gross stuff. If you need a few gross stories, I have a few for you that you can take and make yours. One time, so if you're listening to the car with your family, don't. But if you're listening on your own, keep listening. Here's a free one for you. One time we picked up a guy with a stomach ache for 3 days. Turns out, as we found out when we asked him to stand up, it was a lower GI bleed. And when he stood up, he was wearing track pants, you know, like a Polish tuxedo. He was wearing track pants, and out of the leg of his track pants fell approximately 3 cans worth of jelly cranberries substance material, which was his GI bleed that he had been working on for the past 3 days. As he was walking across the carpet to the cot, he left footprints of strawberry jello behind. If you don't think that story dressed up with a drink in your hand and somebody else had a few drinks, if you don't think that's going to be top tier gross, you can describe the smell for him if you want. You can talk about cleaning the cot afterwards if you want. You can talk about how you smelled it for 3 days afterwards. If you don't think that's going to end the conversation or scratch that itch for that person of hearing the gross story or the craziest thing you've ever seen, I don't know what will, right? The other thing is you can just be honest. When someone asks you, what's the craziest thing you've ever seen? There's a very easy answer there. And that answer is people. People are the craziest thing I've ever seen. The things that people do and the whoopsies that people make and the goofy spots that people get themselves into have been some of the most crazy things I've ever seen. We're not talking about mentally disturbed people in that sense of crazy, but people cause us to go respond to them. So why wouldn't people be the craziest thing we've ever seen? Humanity as we know it has become the craziest thing the fire service has ever seen. Give them that stuff, right? If you need another one, here's another one. One time we had a guy who was diabetic and neglectful of his health, and he would call us for foot pain. Over the course of the years, that foot pain turned into a gangrenous foot, but he still wouldn't make the necessary changes. So every time we saw him, we walked in with a biohazard bag, made him put it on like a knee-high sock, taped it around his knee, and then we took him to the hospital. If you think a gangrene skeleton foot in a biohazard bag isn't gross enough for someone to stop talking to you, that person doesn't deserve more. Here's another one. We've all been in cluttered homes, hoarder houses, right? Something like that. It doesn't take much to describe the bathroom of a hoarder house to make people understand that that's gross enough for me. As soon as you start talking about jars with waste matter in them and accidentally tipping one over when you're trying to lift someone off of their bed and all the other associated issues with that house, that's now the craziest thing that person's ever heard of directly without any degrees of separation, and that's going to be good enough. Give the people what they want. They're asking for entertainment. They're asking for gross. They're asking for crazy. They're asking for worst. But worst in their eyes is not what we know is worst. Worst is like down here, pee, poop, vomit, bed bug stuff. Give it to them. The other thing is, you may not get this question. You may just hang out with friends that know you and know that you're busy and you've seen nasty stuff, and they don't need to ask you that. But if you go to a party where you're going to be around other people, you can just plan on like, okay, why wouldn't I treat this like every other thing we do in the fire service? We literally pre-plan as many buildings and situations and instances and responses and everything we can in the world. Why wouldn't we have one or two gross stories in the bank to give to someone? It only makes sense. You know they're not going to trigger you into thinking about something else. You know they're not going to trauma dump on this person. Here's a story about pee and poo. I got a couple in the chamber, and I'm going to lay those on people and walk away, and they're going to be left with their jaws on the floor. And then that's a story they can take to someone else. No one walks into a party saying, man, I'm going to a Christmas party today. I hope there's a firefighter there, then I can hear some really bad, nasty stuff and also make them relive it in front of me. Nobody's saying that. Nobody learns that you're a firefighter and says, oh, I hope I can mentally wreck this person in the next 30 seconds with this dumb question. Nobody's saying that. People see that. They see an opportunity to have a little bit of entertainment, maybe hear a gross story. That's what they ask for. That's what we should be giving them. Give them the gross. Now, a little bit of a call to action, a little bit of a calling out. If you are a first responder and the very thought of hearing that question, what's the grossest thing you've ever seen? What's the worst thing you've ever seen? If the very first thought you have is like aggression, or that person shouldn't be asking me this, or why do they make me want to relive this? Maybe that's an indicator that it's time to start paying attention to what's going on between your ears. If your reaction is that strong, and you have no choice but to start reliving stuff when people ask you that simple question, that's your first sign. Probably not your first sign. That's another sign that it's time to start figuring that out so you don't get put yourself in this bad situation when you start spouting off and your night spirals down because someone asks you a question, not knowing the impact of it. So I put a poll up yesterday, actually, about, hey, what's the problem with that question? Is it the person asking it? Is it our reaction to it? Or do we both carry some of the weight of that? And thankfully, an overwhelming majority said both, because it is. Yeah, it's not the greatest question in the world, right? People don't know what they're asking. You love for people to be more empathetic and understand the impact of it. But like I said, they have no register for it. They have no idea what they're asking. That's like asking, hey, what's it like in zero gravity on the moon to someone who flies an airplane? They have no idea. They have no reference for what they're asking you. It's also our problem if we react to it like adversarially, overreact to it. It shoots us into our own mental orbit. That's an issue too that we have to deal with. So yeah, I believe that the onus lies on both of us to be better, right? For us, we got to follow the rule. When you were getting hired, when you're going through an interview process, promotion process, whatever, the number one rule is listen to what they're asking you and answer the question. Don't make up the question in your head while they're still asking you. Listen to what they ask you, answer the question. And it's my advice during the holiday season for the rest of your career, listen to what they're asking you and answer the question. They're not asking you for this stuff up here. My hand's high in the air right now. They're asking you for this stuff down here. Give them the gross, move on with your night. Enjoy that you actually turn the tables on them and maybe they won't be able to eat jelly cranberries for the next 2 or 3 Thanksgivings. That will make you happier than trauma dumping on someone and crying over your eggnog when you're 6 deep in eggnog, right? All right. I hope that was clear enough, quick enough, gross enough for you. I understand the feelings around the question. I understand the desire to correct people. I understand all of it. I get it. I'm with you. I understand. They don't understand. Let's help them. Give them what they want. Move on with your night. I've said that too many times. I'm repeating myself too much. Let's cut this one off. Happy holidays. We're going to try to do the obligatory firefighter gift guide in the next week or so. I'm going to try to get Kurt back on here. He's been busy, but we're trying to coordinate now, get him back on here, talk about gifts and just general catch-up stuff. So thanks for hanging out. As always, let's work on being more capable and durable both on the job and away from it. We'll talk to you soon, and be a fourth shift firefighter.